Okay, so we're holding in the middle of the perek over here about Korach and his machlokes on Torah min Hashamayim. By the way, the Rambam also learns that the machlokes of Korach against Moshe Rabbeinu was not so much about Moshe Rabbeinu, the machlokes was Torah min Hashamayim. In other words, it was a shaila, is there any part of Torah that Moshe invented on his own or not? Rambam says it clearly, that's where we learned the Ikka from, and the Maharal is saying the same thing, but in his way, in a much more fundamental way. Okay, now he explains an agadat in Perek Sfina, or Perek Sfina. Omalei Hahutaya, there was this is a whole series of stories about Taya is an Arab merchant. So, and he was showing Rabbi Hanan all these wonderful things, these very strange things, these unique things. And he says, Tov ach v'loch blue korach. I'm going to show you the blue korach. Ozel v'chazoy trei bizi. He saw two cracks in the ground. Nofek minay kutra with smoke coming out. Shokel gavad amra mashimaya. He took a piece of wool and put it in the water. Va'anchi bereishin rumcha, put it on the head of a spear. Ayil lehosa, put it in. V'chi apika b'machrich, when it came out, it was burning or smattering. Amalei, atzis maishamis. They told him, listen what they're saying. V'shamis dava amri, moishe emes teros emes v'hein badroyim. They were saying moishe emes teros emes, and they, Korach, are badroyim. So he told the Taya told him that every 30 days they turn them over. So this Gemara, this Agarata is part of the Rabbah Bar Chana series. The Goyen says that all Agaratas have some little pshat also, except for these Agaratas that are Kuloi Mashal. He also says about this is the place where Ummah Olam find themselves mocking Torah, because these agaritas are just incredible agaritas. So I'll put it, these agaritas for sure are Kulei Mashal. So Maral begins to explain. Biyozeh, ki lecholkim ala Torah, shi seichel emes, ein roela mitzias kwe shemayinu. So the bottom line of it is, those people who are cholik on Torah, are cholik on the emes, on the mitzias, and b'meila, they have no metzias. Well, lekach amru, the omalehu taya. So first thing is, why was the tour guide called taya? Kora ha-seichel taya, v'zeh ki ha-seichel hu ha-choyke al ha-dvarim, o mishoytet ba-oilam na-orko l'rochboi, ve'af b'dvarim nivdolim hu choyke v'emer aleihem. So the first thing he says, he explains the mashal of a seichel. And he says it means seichel. And let's explain a little bit. When you have, let's say, a farmer and he grows stuff, he raises animals, he grows crops. So everything that he has is local. In other words, everything is where it is. He can only benefit from what's there. The ability to benefit from things outside of his Dalet Amis do not exist. So most people's Parnassa, most people's engagement with this world is very, very clearly described. It's here, here, here. And therefore, they only have shaykhs to one thing. Ataya, socha, goes from place to place. And that means everything, there's nothing outside of his realm of grasp. If he finds a great gold in one place, he takes it. If he finds a wonderful produce in another place, he takes it. So Seicha is somebody whose range and scope goes through many, many different areas. That's one. A person's senses are limited to his immediate experience. So if I had to learn from what I experienced, I'm limited. There's just a certain amount of things I saw. There's just a certain amount of things I tasted. And I'm limited to what I am. The seichel is free. My seichel can extrapolate and say, I can make a law of physics that's going to apply to a star 10 billion light years away, and it'll be true. And my seichel can be choker and derish anything and everybody and anywhere, and therefore seichel is the equivalent of that seichel. And he says, even things that are conceptual, there is no way a person can taste justice, goodness, bravery. All of these are concepts, and seichel can get a handle on them. So the equivalent in a world economy is somebody who is the seichel adam, which goes round and round the saw. V'nikro mashekoina seichel lekach, kachasichli hu shekoina muskolos v'mkine shaloi. So the word kinyan applies to chachma, and the reason is kinyan is something that applies to an outside thing that came into my rishus by some sort of action or trade. So the mashal, whatever I grow in my field is mine because it's mine. Anything that is mine, and it's whatever comes out of it. But my ability to go outside and make it part of myself is the koach of schora, and that's called lekach. It wasn't part of me, but I took it from someone else and incorporated it to me. So whatever sensual experience I have had is mine be'etzim. Whatever seichel made part of my awareness and understanding is called lekach. And that's why seichel is called lekach. And the chacham means somebody who has acquired much understanding, has acquired much knowledge. And that's why it is a chacham. Well, the fikach shem ha'atzmi ha'royal ha'seichel hu shem tayim shu'seicha choyze al dvarim shekoyna. So that's why the description of that kreach ha'seichel is called tayim. One. The oma tov ha'achse v'achvel ha'bluye kreach ein ha'pirish sheher libur iyo chushis gashmis. It doesn't mean that he physically took it to a spot and he saw over there smoke coming up and so on and so forth. And you can quote this morale says in a dozen places, where people ask, Agadah is like this, I'm not at all literal, but they are 1,000% emes. Much more, there can be much more emes than things that literally occurred, than mices that happened. But this didn't happen physically. Nobody had a piece of cotton or wool, and nobody had this. But Seichel showed it. One of the most, we'll make an analogy. Mid-level technocrats do physical experiments, and they learn a lot of truth from experiments. And great thinkers like Einstein got a lot of their Galileo, a lot of the most famous phenomena they discovered was done with what's called the thought experiment. They sat there and said, well, Galileo said, let's say I have a board that is sloped. And let's say, the ball goes down. Let's say it's sloped less. Let's say it's infinitely sloped. It was a way of constructing in his mind a type of experience which gave him tremendous insight. So, Shasechel Marla called the Ria Sichlis Legashmis. And he, all of this was a seichel deka picture. The Oman, he said, Chaza trei busy v'naf de kutvene. He saw two cracks. Why two cracks? Pirush ke ascholos yisere gehenem nimshach min madrega hashnia. V'dov ze biru chachomim v'chachmos mash omru ki lakatem akitoi b'shenish b'soilum shabonev gehenem ze gehenem yishleimus shabashleimus l'boyashom yishoyim sh'inom shleimim ba'atzma. The whole mitzvah of olam yesh b'shleimus chutz mi mitzvah shnayim. So this is a piece that he's going to start, and let's talk about it before, and then we'll see it inside. The many use this lashon, but the Maharal especially uses this lashon a lot. The concept of the opposite of echad of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is shlius, meaning a twosome. It's the most elementary form of kfira. There's one God, that's Emes, and that's Emuna. And then there is shlius, which is more than one God. But it's a lot deeper than that. Shlius means that there is no point of convergence for these entities, and they always remain split apart. When I say there are two sides to the coin, I'm basically saying, and there's no resolution. You could say this, you could say this. Some people feel this way, some feel this way. When I say there are two sides to the coin, what I mean to say is there is no one side. When I have a mitzias of, and we'll talk about it, of a yovei kosav ashlishi v'chei b'neihem, that's when I can converge divergent lines or arrows and make some sort of sum total. So he says, Gehenim is the place, the shorish of Gehenim is shnios. If there is more than one shorish, then nothing exists. All numbers have a shneimus except for shneim. Vizeh. Ki ha'echod hu shalom ba'atzmoi. One is shalom. It is what it is. It's its own mitzvahs, and that's that. So when something is complete, total, like it says in the last week's parasha of Ahoya, a mishkan le'echad, the mishkan, when you hooked up all the pieces, it became one. It means one, it's not pieces, it is a complete entity in itself. So when you have two lines, they can have a common point of origin, but they never come together. So each one represents part of something, and there is no overarching truth. So when you have two lines, they can never meet like parallel lines. They can have a common point of origin and no way of getting it together. When you have a triangle, a shloishikav nasa sholem, shetechav asoif b'roish kazeh, u'mikol shekein l'malo mimis kazeh, ava shnayim l'tum l'chav asoif. So there's no way to have a two-sided figure ever become a davar sholem. It's always going to be missing something. V'nimtza pam kazeh, and pam kazeh, that v'lefiko ha-shnayim chos ha-shleimus, v'zanim shach ha-gehenim, shua bulti sholem. So whenever we have inyanim that are two, they never ever come together. He's referring to when he says the sisrei chachma. Let's explain briefly what he's talking about. When they talk about the spheres, they always are talking about opposite midas. So you're talking about chesed and din, which are opposite direction. Din demands perfection, lines, and so on. Chesed extends itself, does no boundaries, etc. Having those two midas describe a Kadosh Baruch Hu is basically kfira, because, well, which one is it? It's a split personality. It's not a one. There's always a center mida. The midas work, I'm sorry, in groups of 3, 3, 3, and each middle midah is the integration of two midahs into a bigger whole. And without going too far afield, each midah has a shem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu associated with it. The shem Havaya, Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, which is the Ikka shem, the shem of Mefurish, relates to that middle midah that balances the chesed in the world with the din in the world. Because the only claim we can say Hashem Echad is when it refers to that Nekuda that integrates it to. In the integration of the two, I see the one. Let's take a simple example. Imagine I have in a business situation, I have two partners. One person enjoys advertising and marketing and so on. One enjoys development of the products. Those two are very different personalities, very different people. There is no point of agreement between those two. There is no point of agreement. And that partnership is doomed. When you put down a third person, CEO, and the CEO says, okay, the tachlis of the business is profit. Now, let's see how much of each we'll need. You'll fight it out. Tell me why you need so much money for marketing. You tell me why you need so much development. And I'll make a decision based on profit. So even when you do have two shvatim agreeing, it's a pshat, it's because each one of them has a piece of himself. That's the third piece. I may be a wonderful developer and tinkerer, but at the end of the day, I want to make profit. So the Yovah Kosova Shlishi Yachri B'Neim makes it one mitzias. Without that, there's no point of resolution. It will split apart. A partnership that does not have a common denominator is going to split apart. I want to add something else in it and put something else in the mix, which I think is very, very relevant. Let's say Shalom Bias. So if the attitude is the purpose of marriage is that each person should enjoy life more, then if it's not going, it's not going. So I like going to ball games. She likes going to art museums. I can compromise a little bit, but tachlis, if her tachlis in life is art museums, my tachlis is ball games, there's not to talk about. But if let's say we have a common denominator to build a mishpacha, a bias is Yisrael, that's a certain common denominator. If that common denominator is the same, now we have a point of reference. It can still be too difficult for me, but I have a point of reference. I say, okay, the common denominator is a certain sort of a bias that we both are pretty much in agreement. I feel you need more this, I need more this, you need more that. Fine, yesh al malod. So he says, May Sophia Zemeshev Sisha Chachma, Ubishvilkach Lenema Besheni Kitoiv, Shalenema Kitoiv Rak, Aldova Hashalim, Vidova Shaeme Mushlam Enetoiv. So toiv cannot, toiv means something that exists, has existence, will exist. Something that is a tusum does not exist. Ulefikach Afmeleches Hamayim Hiskobiyev Sheni Vlehushlam. It can't be shleimus, because shleimus requires tachlis. What is the nekuda that both pieces are going to? The anchor of Gehenim in our world is two sums. The Nafik Kutri Minayu. Bo Loima. Kila Elu Hanoshim Royalim Agehenim Legamim Kol Bekol. Luke Moshe Averis. Afim Chota. In again, Saks the Gamim Moisesh Royal Agehenim Legamim. So he said, if we're talking about Gehenim, and the way he defines Gehenim is something that's a lack of Mitzias, so every person's Gehenim that he deserves is some sort of lack, deficiency. So if a person's deficiency is, let's say, I don't know, he didn't die. So that chelik of him is deficient. But I can't really ascribe it to his core personality. I can't say his atzmis is missing. But someone who's a baal shnius, a baal machlik, baal shnius, the etzim has no. Why is the Gehenim called Eish? And Eish is something which is very powerful. It's sort of the most powerful thing we have is called Eish. The Kaha Gehenim should din Rishoyim Yesh Lechoyzik Vitoike. Or the Kaha Gehenim should din Rishoyim Yesh Lechoyzik Vitoike. But Toilod and Koro Oshin Gamkein. Oshin, just like smoke, is a Toitzor, it's a Toilod of the Eish. This Oshin also was there. Lefisha also misyalid mechayzik ha'esh gamke. Vein sofik ha'gehenim shudino reshoyim, mispashat koich boil mazeh. Ki shalid din ha'gehenim af boil mazeh kamad hor. So he says, since we're talking about Gehenna, not as a place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides to mete out a punishment, but we're talking about it as a state of deficiency, which in Olam HaEmes we see it fully, but in this world we see some aspects of it. In other words, had Gehenna just been the correctional facility, then it's no gap to the world to come. Gehenna is a state of being or a state of not being, and therefore we can feel it and we can spot it in certain places here also. And that's why they were able to see the smoke in this world. The fire was there, the full gili of a matzav of Gehenna is there, but the smoke is here. The ein kol adzeshem lekayim, the ein kol advarim legashmim klal, like a kol musko. None of this is physical, all of this is conceptual. I want to add a nekuda. Rabbi Moshe Perry used to say it a lot. If we, when you look, let's say, at the Rambam that says chorus is the ultimate punishment, to us it seems like an easy way out. Gehenna is terrible suffering, chorus is just you aren't. So Moshe said a very insightful point. He said, Rahmana Litzlan, somebody who's missing, you have to amputate a limb, it's a lot of Yisuri Nefesh because there's a sense of self that's missing. But so he said, imagine you exist and you sense that all of you is non-existent. And it's like, everybody thinks when you're a little kid, you wish you were an invisible man. Like the fantasy is to become an invisible man. The truth is, it would probably be the biggest Gehenna. Imagine an invisible person and you walk around, nobody sees you, nobody knows, nobody cares what you think, nothing. Your survival is you're surviving as a non-existent person. Gehenna is a lack of metzias, but we are painfully aware of our lack of metzias. And the mela is, it's we are aware of our hefsid and ivadim, and that's the great tsar of Gehenna. So we spoke about this point last time, that Torah is not a good thing, it's not a true thing, it is a description of the Metzius as such. So the point of the Gehenim in them was to bring out the pure emes. The pure emes was the hefech of their of themselves. That Moshe's emes and Torah's is emes and amavadoy. B'shul poel zeshay Gehenim poel behem b'shul shecholt na emes shu mischuyev. So he says, it wasn't that they sat in the choir and chanted it. That was the Etzem Metzias. But let's give an example, a contemporary example that I think is very relevant. 150 years ago, plus minus, they started different deviant movements in Yiddishkeit. Conservative, reform first, conservative, and so on. There were fights against it, Muhammad's against it, Kokairis, Surim, Haramim, etc., etc., etc. Had any of that succeeded, we would have said that reform and conservative are strains of Judaism. They are approaches. They are viable, but they're usher. And we fought against it and defeated it. That's not a real victory. Today, conservative reform had everything going for them, and nothing destroyed it. It simply evaporated. And the main reason it evaporated is because there's nothing there. It was smoke and signals and lights, and then there's nothing, there's no atzmius to it. So the reason why it disappeared is because it doesn't exist. It never was anything more than a mirage. The same thing with communism. Had we defeated communism by throwing an atom bomb in Russia, we would have won, but communism would still be alive. More than alive. It would have been considered a viable entity, except that Rishoyim or Tzadikim, Bezmekdivis, fought against it and destroyed it. Communism just one morning evaporated. And that means that it was a Nephil, it wasn't a Bar Kayama. It never was a Metzius. So it was kept alive by power and force, but it wasn't alive. It was a dead body being pumped constantly. It never breathed on its own. So the ultimate, when Korach is identified with the Metzius of Gehenim, that declares Meishan Tzasa Emes. Their Metzius of being Kol Gehenim is the declaration of Meishan Tzasa Emes. The Omer can call Tal Siyem and Makach will get him to Buzzer Kalachas. What's the 30 days? The Omer Hachi. We'll be in the Zed. Kishloishim Yoim is to Golem Lechazara. We say Kibishloishim Yoim is Savar Yakol Goguloi. The Choyze Lahakif Koy Rishayna. Go to Motzi Ahekif Chazar Sagal with the Pachas. Kishago and Rishas Ma Yisakapas. He says the smallest orbit that we're aware of is the moon going 30 days around the earth, as opposed to our going around the sun, which is a year. With Nekel or Shem Rimli Gehenna Limit Sadma, the Kachan Kibishashim Gehenna Kol Shoshim Pirush, a program called Gehenna Mitzem. It's another way of describing an entirety of Gehenna. It's not only in terms of how much of the Eshe Gehenna Mishaylit, but every Chelik of Zman. Each Chelik of Zman has its own properties. This is Makiv all of them. It's a beginning of Leda, it's a chiyus. But loika kashek va nimtze v moisiv olav. Vina odom shu moisiv di gidl. Ein za mitas. Ein za mitas av yosef. Vila ze oma di mahapach le gehenem ke bosa kala sasha shim yoyim. She mischadish lama gehenem. Vizeo amitas havayas gehenem shu poil bim. Vayim in moishan tzas emes ke etzim ha gehenem vayim poil bim. Vishvol shim achol na tira. Vayim amitas. So the general ruach of what he's saying is as follows. When we talk about 30 days in Gehenna, there are no days and nights, we understand it. But days and nights that we have it is a certain chalukah ruchnias that a Kadosh Baruch Hu tagged with physical entities. So the sun and the moon are to mark certain time periods. Like he says, you have day and night, you have 30 days, and you have a year. Those are marked by natural phenomena as a result of there needing to be a musik of a yayim, a musik of a chaydesh, a musik of a shana. It starts with there being a musik like that. In each chalukah of Zman has its own properties, each system of Zman has its own properties, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu translated into a physical reality, like I said over here. Okay, any questions, any points, anything? By the way, when did they change the clock night to stroll? Do we know?
believe it's next week, no? Anybody knows?
I think it's the Parshas Paro week. Another 3 weeks, I think.
No? Two weeks, Zohar and Paro. Okay, whatever it is, I don't know if I could keep it this time tomorrow. Well, I'll see if I have a minion. Sunday minyanim are erratic a little bit.
Next week, Abba.
What?
So we're talking about next week, I guess.
Yeah, next Sunday, yeah. Why?
So next, okay, so...
I have to see next Sunday if... I'm a shy that an hour early is too early for the Ilman Ezra Stroll. They're probably still in Yeshiva and Seder, whatever it is. So we'll see. If there's a minion that works for me, I'd be very happy to do it at this time. I'm just not sure if I have a minion like that. Silver Spring doesn't have Shreza Minyan. Okay. So we'll be in touch.
Send an email when I'm there.
Okay.
When the morale says that it's Roy Lahem Gehenim Be'etzem, it's because they're Isaac in Machlaikas or because they're Chaylik on Torah?
So he's Madgish the Machlaikas on Torah. Let me explain to you where Machlaikas can be good and where Machlaikas can be good and where not. If I have a common denominator, let's say we're both Maminim and Torah, and we're being chaylik on whether to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed or not. I bring rayas, you bring rayas. I could be holding my day on that. But we both admit that the day we find the raya in Torah, whoever found the raya wins. And so this machlekes is what we would call machlekes shem shemayim, because the etzem machlekes comes with one nekuda, and it's resolvable. When I'm being chaylik on the Torah saying that Moshe Rabbeinu made the Torah, so there's no point of reference for the both of us. So I was mevatel any point of reference in the world. If I show you a Simcha Shacharit, you tell me, so what? There's no machlekes there. By the way, this is one of the areas when people, when you argue with somebody, the question is, do you have a common set of axioms? It's a waste of time. Unless you enjoy arguing, in which case it's an enjoyable time, but to argue with somebody that has no common axiom. Let's give it a marshal. Let's say about a gay marriage. So if the person agrees to Torah, so I have a common point of reference, I can show them the pasuk, he can tell you that the pasuk is meaning, whatever it is, at least the argument makes some sense. But if his point of reference is people should what makes them happy, and my point of reference is people should what Torah tells them to do, then there's no, we could talk and yell and scream, it means nothing. Because we're not coming back to the same point of reference. So machlekes, if you're cholik on Torah, then less than less dying. Then nothing is final, nothing resolvable. Nothing ends up in any way resolvable. So being cholik on Torah, so if the machlekes in with Moshe was what's pshat in Torah, then we can. But the minute he says Moshe, you could, this nevuah wasn't a nevuah. This is what you said. Then he says that Moshe is a total liar, and Moshe, and by implication, if that's not true, he's a total liar. No resolution. It's either or. If this stands or that stands. It's the same way that you can have different arguments about economic systems and go back and forth on it. But if you believe that property belongs to the person who earned it, and you believe that property belongs to society, there's no machlokas. You can have a war, but not a machlokas. That's the point of reference. Yes. Okay. Good. Guten Kaltev.